Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Hope you still have your Bible open to 2 Peter chapter 1. In a moment, I'm going to continue the reading that our brother began. I want to read verse 8 to set the stage for the things that I need to talk about in this hour. If you don't have your Bible open yet, now's the time. It's important that we look in the Word of God together, and I want you to find that Bible and get it over to 2 Peter chapter 1. As you're doing that, let me say a word or two about what's fixing to happen this week, Sunday to Wednesday. We are going to talk about growing and what it means to grow as a disciple, what it means to grow our families, what it means to grow this church. And I must tell you that I am excited to have that opportunity. Really pleased. The elders sent to me and said, this is what we want. This is what the congregation needs. These are the ideas that we want you to cover. Here's what we want to work for. We want to talk about growth. Really like that a lot. Sometimes, I know Brother Charles gets this as well. You go in a place in a meeting and you say, what should I preach? And they say, I don't know, just kind of whatever you want to. And sometimes what that leads to is just kind of a whatever you want to sort of gospel meeting. Just kind of some stuff about some things about some stuff. But there's a focus this week. There's a target this week. There's some very specific objectives that your shepherds are interested in this week. And we are working in that direction to see growth occur. And that means this is what you'll be looking at this week. In a moment, we'll talk a little bit about what it is to grow up. And tonight, we will think about some about the things that keep us from growing. Then on Monday evening, I want to talk with you about the ideas, some things that are just absolutely essential and that really energize our growth. That's an enormously important lesson. I need you to be with us tomorrow night. We'll talk about that. If you're interested in growing, that's your lesson. Tuesday evening, we will talk about families. And I would encourage you, if you're going to invite somebody to come and be here, Tuesday night is the night. Everybody wants their family to be better. Everybody wants their family to be stronger. That's a good invitation. Hey, we're going to talk about how to grow families. We're going to talk about the things that make families stronger. Come and be with us Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday, we will talk a lot about what it takes for a church to grow and what God wants His church to do to grow. And there's very different ideas in our world about how to grow the church. We see lots of almost carnival atmosphere in various places, anything about numbers. We see a different approach in Scripture, and we need to talk about that, and we need to think about that with the Word of God. So it's an exciting week. Lots of good things going on as we think about growing and how to grow. I want to assure you, if you will pray for this meeting, if you will come and open your Bible, this can be much more than just another gospel meeting. This can be a turning point place where some real, tangible kinds of growths occur. Some things occur in our lives that we can look back on and say, that was a big week. That week, the Word of God really helped me to do some growing. That's what I'm shooting for. That's what I would hope for. That's what I want to begin in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 8, after that list of those qualities, in 2 Peter 1 verse 8, Peter says there, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Increasing is a growth word, isn't it? If you go to Hollywood and you take one of those back lot studio tours and they drive you down the quintessential Main Street, the old 1930s nostalgia, or if you go to one of those western towns and so forth, they drive you down that and it looks just like, it just looks real. All the buildings, everything is perfect, but what is it? It's a facade. When they take you behind that, the buildings aren't real. There's nothing there. It's just screens and the fronts of buildings that have been carefully constructed and artfully arranged to appear to be an old West town, to look like a city. But it's not real. It's a facade. It's fake. There's nothing to it. In fact, in our society, it's not just Hollywood that seems to be interested in a facade, in looking good, in form over substance. Just give me the flash and give me the glitter, give me the glamour, even if it doesn't have any real character behind it. That seems to dominate much of our culture. But that doesn't work for Christians, does it? That absolutely does not work. We don't want to be fake Christians? Who wants to be a facade disciple? We all know from the verbal entanglements that Jesus had with the Pharisees what Jesus thought of hypocritical fake religion. The Pharisees pretended to be interested in God. It wasn't real. The Pharisees acted like they cared about spiritual things. It was a fake. And over again, Jesus said, that's not going to work in my kingdom. Real disciples have to be just that. They have to be real. They have to be solid. They have to have substance. They need to be genuine. Insincerity and pretense and pretend, that won't work here, Jesus says. My disciples will be solid. In fact, I want to use that expression. I want to talk about being a solid Christian. By that, I mean a disciple who has a genuine relationship with God. Solid Christians aren't perfect, but they are dependable, and they are trying. Solid Christians can be counted on to serve and to help and to try. Solid Christians aren't those who are Bible trivia experts. No, solid Christians have connected what they learn from the Word of God into their day-to-day living. It is not a facade. It is real. It is who they actually are. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we all want? Well, how do you get there? How do you become a solid Christian? I'm going to say this morning, the way you do that is you grow up. Nobody starts solid. Nobody starts as an amazing disciple, and it does not happen overnight. You have to grow, and you have to grow up. And that's our focus this morning. For a meeting that's all about spiritual growth, the place to begin is with you. You have to grow. You have to become what Jesus wants you to be. You need to become a solid disciple. That's what this is all about. And this morning I am pressing the essentials of genuine spiritual growth so that we can move past superficialities, so we can be done with facade and fake Christianity, so that we can become solid Christians. Three essentials this morning to being that kind of disciple. That'll start with some things about measurements. I'm going to say that essential number one is that you throw away the visible results measuring stick. I am not, let me just get this out of the way, I'm not a yard work guy. I'm going to be with you this week. I'm going to be in some homes and so forth. Somebody's going to say, oh, what about your yard? There is more grass on the backside of the moon than in my yard. I loathe yard work, don't want to do yard work, don't like yard work. When I die, if I wake up with a mower in my hand, I will know this did not go well. Don't like yard work. Having said mean things about yard work, there is something I do love about mowing my grass. When you mow the grass, there's visible, clear progress. Isn't that true? That is true. Even if it's sparse and thin, like in my yard, you can tell where the mower's been and where you need to go. You can see those stripes as the mower works, and you can tell, hey, look, I did all of this, and I still need to do all of that. There is a clear indicator of moving forward, contributing, making progress. Well, how does that work in spiritual growth? Did you see what's said in verse 8? If these qualities are yours, qualities. Peter's talking about foundational characteristics necessary to real Christianity. But those are not easy to measure, are they? It's not the sort of thing that you can put a tape measure to and that you can know immediately, hey, here it was 5 years ago. Now look, it's twice as much as it was when I first began. You can't weigh it. You can't mark it. You can't in some way decide it's this much now and tomorrow it'll be this much more. But that desire to be able to visibly see progress oftentimes hinders our growth. I said some things about that in this morning's Bible class hour, and I want to push that to another level here, because we struggle with that at a church level, and we struggle with this at an individual level. What about in churches? Somebody said we measure churches how? With the ABCs. Attendance, buildings, and contribution. If people are coming, if we've built a new building or remodeled our building, and if the contribution and giving is good, we assume what? That is a great church. You take the ABC measuring stick to the churches in Revelation, and what you're going to get very quickly is Laodicea is number one. Way to go, where a church like Smyrna is way down the list. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. An attempt to say something about a church off attendance, buildings, and contribution alone and solely is not the measuring stick Scripture recommends to us. Anytime somebody wants to apply a visible results mentality to spiritual matters, we need to know right away something is out of kilter. Something isn't working right. And that is true as well individually, not just at the congregational level. Our brother read those qualities in verses 5, 6, and 7. Faith and virtue and knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Peter understood that Christianity is something that you are inside first. It is the heart that drives all of our actions and activities, which means you have to be something before you can do something. The kind of character and qualities, verse 8, that he is talking about here are not always easy to measure, however. I don't have an app on my phone, a faithometer, and I can hold it in front of you and it will beep and I will say, oh, looky there, 50 over 15, you're nearly spiritually dead. I don't have that kind of thing. You can't do that sort of thing. And in fact, let me just say this. The inclination when it comes to individual growth is what? We're going to push that over into how often you attend. Church going equals growing. Of course, that doesn't always work. Now, I'm certainly not here to say mean things about church attendance. I'm all in on church attendance. This will be a great week for you to be doing some church attending. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I'm about church attendance. I'm going to be here. You should be here as well. I'm for it. But the thinking that if I just show up and I park myself in a pew, that automatically makes me a growing Christian. That'll be my measuring stick. 3 times a week, I'm in, I'm good, it's all good. Not necessarily. Look at Acts 17. In Acts chapter 17, let's grab Acts 17 and look at verse 11. In Acts 17 and verse 11, there Paul is preaching. This is a synagogue service that we are reading about. And in Acts 17 and verse 11... there Paul tells us, Luke actually tells us, that the brethren in Berea, Acts 17 and 11, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. Growth happened there. Verse 12, many of them believed. That's spiritual growth. But it happened, verse 11, not just because they showed up, but because they were engaged, because they listened, because they thought, because they probed, because they asked, because they searched the Scriptures. And I need to say to you that you can show up this week, but if you are not engaged, if you are cynical, if you are asleep, if you are texting on your phone, you're not going to grow. And if you decide somehow, hey, I go to church, I must be a growing Christian, you're missing it. It's the heart first, getting a character that is closer to God. That's what we're after. So essential number one, we want to make certain that we're not all about externals, but instead the heart. Measuring growth may eventually lead to some tangible kinds of things. Growth spiritually leads to baptism. That's a visible marker. Growth spiritually may lead me to be teaching a Bible class. That's a visible kind of marker. Growing spiritually may mean that my Bible reading schedule has a lot of checks in all the boxes as I'm regularly reading God's Word. That's a tangible marker. But not all growth can be visibly measured. As one person said, not everything that counts can be counted. And we need to remember that as we begin to pursue spiritual growth. We're talking about being something before we're talking about doing something. That's what makes solid Christians. And following very closely behind that then is going to be a desire. Notice verse 8. Let's grab 2 Peter 1. there in 2 Peter 1. Notice verse 8 begins with the word if. 2 Peter 1, verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful. What do you mean if? If? I thought everybody would want this. Doesn't everybody want to grow spiritually? Doesn't everybody want to be a solid, real Christian? The truth of the matter is, no, they don't. Because growing takes effort. It is not easy to have these characteristics instilled deeply in your life. It takes hard work. I need to move over to Philippians here. Would you go to Philippians chapter 2? Let's get a little bit of the Apostle Paul's thoughts on this. In Philippians chapter 2, notice how Paul talks about growing. He says this in Philippians 2, I'm looking at verse 12. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Indeed, in the very next chapter, Paul says in chapter 3, grab verse 13 with me, in Philippians 3 and verse 13, brothers, I don't consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Those passages talk about effort, straining, and work. Indeed, Peter talks about that. Go back to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter 1, look at verse 10. He talks about these qualities, and then in verse 10 he says, 2 Peter 1 verse 10, we need to be all the more diligent. Growing is not about gathering up a bunch of spiritual data, getting a bunch of facts, reading your Bible so you know a bunch of Bible trivia. Growth happens when we take the stuff, when we take the facts, and all that information causes transformation. And that's not always easy to do. That takes effort. Maybe that's why so many people in our culture are all about flash and glitter instead of real substance. Because you can buy flash and glitter. Whip out the platinum card and you can dress for success. You can have all the accoutrements and all of the things that make you look like you are a successful person. I must tell you this. You cannot buy spiritual growth. You can't buy character. You can't buy a real walk with God. You can't buy solid Christianity. It's going to take effort on your part. And as a result, some people are going to say, nah, not for me. Look over in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, here's where we begin. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, like newborn infants, 1 Peter 2, 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. You start as a Christian, as a new babe in Christ. You ever thought about just being a permanent baby? Got some babies here this morning. What about being a baby? That's not a bad gig if you can get it. They take care of you 24/7, keep the hours that you want, people feed you. I mean, you don't have to do anything. You nap a lot and look cute. Hey, that's kind of a good deal. Maybe I'll apply. I could just be a baby all the time. I'll just say, hey, I saw your advertisement for a 7-month-old baby. I don't spit up a lot. I sleep all night. I am teething. Well, maybe somebody says, come on, that's crazy. Who'd want to be a baby all the time? Babies can't talk. Babies can't walk. Babies don't get to do what they want to do. People do things to babies, carry them where they want to go. I don't want to be a baby. Our teenagers are thinking, babies can't drive. What I'm thinking is, babies don't get to choose what they eat. My mom kept feeding me strained peas. I couldn't wait to grow up so I could have my own way at the dinner table. Nobody wants to be a baby all the time. But sometimes in the church, we get baby Christians. Because being a baby in the church means you don't have to do a lot, like teach or work. You don't have to be a lot. You're not called into accountability. Much of what goes on in your life, well, you know, he's just a new Christian. We let a lot of things slide as we look for some growth. It's kind of a free ride. But the truth of the matter is, you weren't born again to remain a spiritual baby. And just as growing a real baby has to grow from infancy to adulthood through effort and nutrition and growth and work, you need to grow, brother or sister in Christ, to become an adult disciple. You don't want to be a spiritual infant forever. That's not solid. When you stay a baby, you're going to miss out on the benefits of full-grown Christianity. And that is the third essential. You need to believe that growing is going to bring great things into your life. Let's look at 2 Peter 1 again. In 2 Peter chapter 1, what happens if I get those qualities, all that stuff in verses 5, 6, and 7, if those qualities grow in my life, if they are increasing, what's going to happen? Peter identifies all kinds of great things that are going to happen. Verse 8, if these qualities are yours and they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, you grow, life gets full. In fact, one translation from verse 8 says, the more you grow, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more productive and useful. Isn't that what we want? One translation here says barren. Another talks about being useless. The ESV that I read from says they'll keep you from being ineffective. Who wants to be ineffective? Who wants to be barren? Who wants to be useless in the kingdom of God? None of us want to reach a place where we're no good for anything. In fact, those terms barren and ineffective, they're the terms that Jesus uses in his parables in Matthew when he talks about men standing idle because no one had hired them to work in the vineyard. Who wants to be idle? Doing nothing, being nothing, amounting to nothing in the kingdom of God. Aren't we looking for meaning? Aren't we looking for purpose? Don't we want to do something bigger than ourselves and be part of something bigger than ourselves? Something that will even outlast us here and that reaches into eternity. Isn't that what we really want in Jesus Christ? Grow. Grow up in Jesus. When you do that, you'll discover the power of sacrifice and serving. How good it is to be outside of yourself and not self-centered. You will find out about the abundant life in Jesus Christ. You'll find out about mastering temptation and being able to rise above that and say no to the temptations the devil offers. You will find the richness of serving the Lord, verse 8, that keeps you from being ineffective or unfruitful. Furthermore, verse 9, whoever lacks these qualities, verse 9, is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. I know a little bit about that eye thing. I've been wearing glasses for as long as I can remember. I hate glasses. They slide down your nose when you get sweaty. They fall off when you're running, when you're hunting. They get fogged up on a cold day. I missed a beautiful pheasant one day because my glasses were fogged up and he bopped out and I couldn't see to shoot. All kinds of problems with glasses. Wear glasses, though, because I need to be able to see. Finally had the chance to do that laser stuff where they zap your eyes. That was incredible. And I did without glasses for about 5 or 6 years. They told me, though, when they did the LASIK, when you get old, yeah, that LASIK thing fixes the distance, but it doesn't fix the up close. So now here I am once again. When I'm going to read, got to put those glasses on. Lots of people still don't get that. Hey, look at this on my phone, and they're showing me something right here. If I don't have my readers on, my response to that is, if you'll stand 18 yards away, I can look at that. I know what it is to be short-sighted. I know what it is to be almost blind and not be able to see straight. I think in verse 9, Peter is talking about how we gradually grow blind. What we saw once so clearly begins to dim. And probably verse 9 is talking about the zeal that we began in Jesus Christ when we were first baptized, how that begins to ebb away over time. We forget how wonderful it felt to be forgiven of our sins, how on fire we were because Jesus Christ's grace and mercy was a reality in our lives. If we don't develop Christian character, if we don't grow, that begins to wear off, that begins to fade away. Finally, we just lose it. We forget, Peter says, that we were cleansed from our former sins. Lots of times that ends up in what? We just end up going back into those sins. What Peter is saying here is exactly what you've always heard. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. Peter is validating that old statement, you're either growing or you're dying. But there is no in between. If you'll grow in Christ, it will become clearer every day. What matters most, what the priorities of life are, how good it is to be forgiven of our sins, every day we will see better, sharper, and clearer. Furthermore, it'll get easier, verse 10. Therefore, brothers, verse 10, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Never fall. Does that get your attention? It gets mine. How many Christians are stuck in do nothing, be nothing Christianity? They're about one more boring sermon away from chucking the whole deal and saying, I'm never doing that anymore. What's the problem there? What's going on? Christianity was never meant to be a life where we live 6 days in the world and we beat it over to the kingdom of God on Sunday morning. We try to live with a foot here and a foot there and manage this halfway existence. That won't fly. That's hard. That's difficult. No, verse 10 talks about as we grow, as we become solid, as we give ourselves fully to the kingdom of God, as we allow the priorities of Jesus Christ to rule our life in every way, as we practice these qualities, it gets easier and easier and easier. You will never fall. That's a promise to Mark, isn't it? No more shame. No more guilt, no more hating yourself. You grow, you get stronger, you get deeper, you get more solid. You will find that Christianity is better and easier every single day. Which means, verse 11, the primary benefit of growth, verse 11, in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Chief benefit of growing is you go to heaven. You get there. An entrance will be richly supplied to you. That's what we're about. How do you get to heaven? Peter says you grow there. And please notice he's not talking about somehow, some way, I'm just going to sneak in under the wire. Maybe there'll be a loophole. Maybe I can climb in the back door of heaven and nobody will notice. No, disciples who are growing, their entrance is richly provided. Growing Christians become what pleases Jesus. They are fruitful. They are effective. They are serving the Lord. They are solid. They see it. They get it. It gets easier. And guess what? They get there. They make it. They go to heaven. They will be supplied an entrance into eternal life. Isn't that why we began this entire track? Because we want what verse 11 is all about. Peter says growing rich, deep Christian character is the way to get exactly that. So I hope you can see that in the kingdom of God, there is no interest in any way in having a facade, in being fake. The kingdom of God is about character. And the way to have that is to grow. Now right here, what I want to do is give you an amazing five-step formula of spiritual growth. Three great things that you've got to do to start your growing. But I'm not going to do that. As I said, first and foremost, in many ways, growth resists that kind of thing, doesn't it? And what will cause you to grow won't make you grow or be the thing that you need to grow. So I think I'm going to be careful about saying, here's 17 things, here's 8 steps. It doesn't work that way. Probably would say something about, if you're serious about growth, I know where you're going to be this week, because we're just going to major in growth. But I do want to say this. If you want to grow, the beginning point is prayer. Praying about it. How much time are you spending talking to God about spiritual growth? Beseeching Him earnestly to grow. Asking Him for opportunities in His providence to grow. I want to say more about prayer this evening, but I can't walk away from a lesson about growing up without giving you something to put both hands on. And what I need to say this morning is what we want to do if we want to grow is we need to put both hands together. Prayer is the beginning of spiritual growth. And growth is what God wants for you. Growth is what God wants for this church. God wants this church to get bigger. Not necessarily numerically, but God wants bigger Christians here, and not at the waistline. God wants bigger Christians, more solid, stronger, deeper, more committed, more serving. And that begins when you individual disciples say, I'm going to grow. I'm not going to fake it. I'm going to grow up in Jesus Christ. Let's pray about that. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Father, that Your Word shows us the way to real character. And we ask, Father, that You bless our desire and our efforts to become solid disciples, dependable, serving, knowing You, caring about Your kingdom. Right now, Father, we are impressed deeply with the need to grow. And as we get ready to give ourselves to extensive study about growing this church, growing our families, and growing individually, we ask Your blessings upon that. Help us, Father, to see in Your Word what we need to take the next step to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray, and amen. Let's grab your songbook and get ready to sing. As I said, growth is not always something that you can measure in a very tangible and visible sort of way, but there are times when you can. One of those turning points is when a person says, I've never obeyed the gospel. I've never been baptized for the remission of my sins, and I'm going to do that now. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm ready to confess that faith in Him. I'm ready to turn away from my sins. I need to be immersed in water for the remission of my sins. As Acts 2:38 teaches, I want to be a Christian. If you are a Christian and you're not what you ought to be, you know that there is some sin that you are holding on to. There are things you're involved in that are bringing shame upon the Lord and even His people. This is a turning point for you. A chance to say, I need to repent of that. I need to get that out of my life. I need to tell my brothers and sisters about that so they can help me serve the Lord in a better way. Could we help you this morning? To grow. To begin to be born again as a new Christian. Or to be a better, stronger Christian. Could we help you? Make your way right down front while we stand, while we sing.